The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
A couple times in my life, I've been asked, honored, to give high school graduation speeches. And one of the things that I talked about in those speeches, this is all bonus material, by the way, because I'm just looking up at our monitor and they're talking about the autopsy for Gabby Petito, a story I've not talked about much at all on the show, but talked about how her body had been in the wilderness for 3 to 4 weeks. And everybody assumes the boyfriend did this. And you just watch all those videos of those two, and he just looked to be such a sleazebag. And you just wonder, why, Gabby? Why would you choose to spend a chunk of your life with this guy? And that's part of the speech that I always gave in my high school commencement addresses. I talked about all the things that I think are important to have a successful life. But then I would always say at the end of all of those other items, I would say, but the most important decision you will ever make, it is one that can undo all of your other great decisions, and it can overcome your bad decisions. And that's who you choose to spend your life with. And if you don't choose somebody who lifts you up, who makes you better, who you can lift up, where you fill in each other's gaps that you might have, who makes you laugh, who challenges you, who just helps you achieve your potential, that should be the goal of all of us. That's what I hope and pray for with my three daughters, and one who's married has a man just like that. And I pray for that for my kids. But you can make a bunch of bad decisions in life, but if you're married to that great, or you dedicate your life to being with that one person who is just fantastic in every way and lifting you up and building you up and making you laugh and having a joyous life, it can undo a lot of those bad decisions. And you can make a lot of great decisions, but if you're in a disaster of a relationship, it can destroy all those other great decisions you make. So that just popped in my head as I saw the autopsy being presented, the breaking news that's coming in this hour on Gabby Petito, and continuing to look for the boyfriend. But preach to your kids, man. Who you choose to spend your life with is, by a significant factor, the most important decision you will ever, ever make. All right. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to The Big Show. Lots of news, including that breaking news we just had, but it's a very busy news afternoon. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
It has become very fashionable to hate on police officers. We know that so many of the Seattle City Council just seems to despise our cops for reasons that I don't quite understand, but I know what's behind it. They want to see the region torn down so that they can build it up. Last night, there was a high-speed chase in Seattle involving Seattle police. And the person who was driving the car they were chasing was a known felon who was speeding away from the cops. The felon lost control of his car and crashed into a tree. Now, I would bet any amount of money that this felon at some point in his life, maybe at many, 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 many points in his life, has screamed out, A-C-A-B. This is mostly visual, but the body cam video was just released. And what you see in it is this guy's unconscious, trapped in his car. The car is on fire. The passenger side is just demolished. But the driver's side was, he still had a compartment that didn't kill him. And with the car on fire, you see officers running up, some with fire extinguishers, others with a cutting tool to cut off his seatbelt. And as the car burst into flames. They dragged this felon away from the crash scene. And here's a little bit of how it went down.
You see the driver?
Here's what I'm saying to the guy.
No,
just dragging him out of the car. Your car's on fire.
Okay, go. Hold it in. Everybody got another fire extinguisher?
Hey, can you hear me, dude? You guys clear the car?
Yeah. No. Okay. Hey, get back.
So at this point, they see that the fire is starting to engulf even more of the vehicle. It could explode. So two of the officers run up to the felon who's unconscious, and they grab his arms, and they drag him away from the car so he won't be engulfed in the fireball that they think is coming.
Everybody get back.
I'm going to step over here. It might pop. That's the one that we just tried. Yeah.
The car might pop, but they all risked their lives so that they could save the life of a fleeing felon from the police. I guarantee you, as I said, I'll bet any amount of money that fleeing felon has chanted ACAB. And I would love for the members of the Seattle City Council who despise police officers, I would love for all of the other people in politics who simply hate cops, some on the King County Council, are they going to acknowledge the raw heroism that was displayed as they risked their lives? They were willing to sacrifice their lives or be horribly injured in a fireball so that they could get this guy, cut him out, drag him away from the car. And the reason I'm leading my show with this today is because I'm tired. And if I'm tired, I can't imagine how our police officers feel when all of the agenda, when all of the rhetoric seems to be about how horrible cops are and why we need to defund them and how it's no big deal if we lose another 20% of the Seattle Police Department because of the vax mandate. And once in a while, somebody has to spotlight the 99.9% of the job that our police officers do where they are doing great work. Whether it's simply interacting with a child in the community or pulling a felon away from a burning car. And that doesn't get spotlighted nearly enough. And so to the, in this case, it was Seattle Police, was the responding agency. So if Seattle police officers, I simply want to say thank you. Most of us appreciate you. Don't let the rhetoric, don't let the cacophony from the haters overwhelm the reality that most of us appreciate you. This is a very loud, vocal minority that's hating on our cops. But we know what's happening. We know what's going on. And it's very much appreciated. So take a moment, if you encounter a police officer today, to say thank you for the job they do, because they'll risk their lives to save a felon's life. And I think that's admirable. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
I developed a love of reading at a very young age. And the Ballard Library was a very important part of that. As I've mentioned a couple of times, we couldn't afford to buy books in my household. So the library was, I mean, I remember that first day I got my library card. I was probably, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. And I thought I had just hit a jackpot because I had. And the Ballard Library then was in a different location from where it is now. It was on, I think it was 58th and 24th. was on a corner there, and they had it was a fairly small library. But then they had a back door that opened onto a little reading area outside where they had lots of almost tropical-looking plants and a water fountain. And I loved the sound of falling water then and now. When my wife and I, when we built our house, one of the first things that we did in all our planning was, you know, let's put in a water feature so we can sit on the deck and listen to cascading water. But I just vividly remember on summer days when I was 7 years old, I was allowed to ride my bicycle to the Ballard Library, which is just unthinkable today. I would park my bike without a lock in the bike rack, and I'd go inside for 2 hours. The chances of the bike being there today, if you did that, are about 1/1000th of 1%. But then I'd go in, and I would check out books, and I'd take them out into that water garden, and with the falling water drowning out the street noise that was just beyond, I fell in love with reading. And I treasure that to this day. And I'm very happy that all our daughters, my wife is a voracious reader. Man, I wish I could read as many books as my wife reads. But our daughters all love to read. And I'm very happy about that. And the reason I'm telling this whole story is because what's happening right now at our libraries is just unbelievable. Kids can't go there anymore. Seattle Public Libraries, they just reported that in the last year or so, the homeless drug vagrants have caused almost $500,000 in damage, and that there's a dramatic increase in loitering and vandalism. The homeless encampments surround several of their branches. And why? Well, because they can walk inside and use the bathroom. Nobody dares say no since they reopened. And it includes $170,000 in damage to the downtown library on 4th Avenue. 7 window panels were damaged, shattered by a pellet gun. An uninsured motorist ran into the building. Can't pin that on the homelessness, I guess. But they bent, shattered windows, bent supporting steel beams. That cost $85,000. But you look around, Ballard, Fremont, Lake City, Northgate, Northeast University, Rainier Beach, Beacon Hill, they're all doing so much damage. The Ballard Fremont branch, $60,000. Have you looked at your property taxes? Have you seen how much you pay to go to the libraries? And now our kids can't use them, and most adults don't want to use them because, like so much else in our region, they've been just absolutely turned over to drug vagrants. And it's costing us, they say, $500,000, but on top of that, when you factor in that we just can't use them anymore. Kids can't go by themselves. Parents are reluctant to bring their kids along when it's so filled with the vagrants. Can't let your kid go into the bathroom by his or herself because you don't know what's inside those bathrooms. And so, once again, we're seeing a story, a situation of where the homelessness that has been carefully cultivated by our politicians, by legalizing drugs, by providing view apartments of downtown in Elliott Bay in brand new multi-million dollar buildings that you're eligible for if you classify as homeless. The cost to all of us of having to put up with this, of lost use. Just look, if you pay $300 or $400 on your property taxes that goes to the library, that's money that's just totally wasted right now when they're unusable. When you have vagrants and homeless people taking over our libraries. But like so much else in our region, chaos is what is supported. Chaos is what is encouraged. And then finally, in the big lead. Finally.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
And then you have this absolute nightmare that's going on at Green Lake, where there are and have been RVs and trailers that have taken up almost half of the road surrounding Green Lake. And they are filled with drug vagrants. And what has happened? I'll tell you another childhood story. Because the church I grew up in, Calvary Lutheran in Ballard, good Icelandic church. They would always do an Icelandic service once a year because most of the people who started the church moved out from Mountain, North Dakota, a tiny little farm town. My mom didn't speak English until she was in the first grade. They only spoke Icelandic in her house here in America. She had a pretty strong accent her whole life because of that. But I remember vividly when the church would rent a shelter at Lower Woodland. And after church on some summer Sundays, we would go and play games. Just usual games, three-legged race and wheelbarrow race and all those things that you would do as kids. Can't do it anymore. Sail Parks won't rent out any of those shelters, which is where we would set up, where we would barbecue hot dogs and burgers. People would bring their coolers, and we'd share some soda pops and juices. Can't do it anymore. Every shelter is filled with a homeless encampment. And around Green Lake, it has become just an absolute disaster. This guy was talking to Edward Ballett, told King 5 that, no, kids can't play there anymore.
Called 911 several times for gunshots at night. My kids don't no longer run in the park like they used to. You cannot reserve a shelter in Woodland Park for an event for a community organization because there's no permits being given because it is such an encampment now.
So what's the message here in our big league? We hear all the time about this coup that was attempted on January 6th. And I'm not going to diminish that. But I will tell you that there is an even greater coup that is happening right now in America. Whether it's forcing people to do something that's against their religious or their medical doctor's opinion of what's right. Whether it's giving up our cities to crime and criminals. Giving up our libraries, giving up our parks, giving up this absolute emerald in the middle of the city, Green Lake, which is just a beautiful place under the best of conditions. But we're not anywhere near the best of conditions. And we have just decided as a society to allow the coup to commence. And this is a very coordinated effort. And we have, not we, but people around us have elected politicians who are part of this. It's happening in our schools. It's happening in our parks. It's happening in your neighborhoods where crime is absolutely through the roof. It's time to stand up to it. It's time to fight back. The coup is on. And we've got to stand up and reverse it. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Speaking of which, we've talked often about how hatred is being taught in our schools at a time when we should all be coming together as lovingly as possible. I have an unbelievable example of that here locally, and I've got the audio to prove it coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. One of the things that's just absolutely heartbreaking in our schools right now is that our kids are being taught all too often to hate. You know, we've talked about that a lot. There's curriculum where everybody is either an oppressor or the oppressed, where you're made to either feel guilty or victimized. And I've never understood why we wouldn't teach our kids to just love everybody and not hate somebody based on the color of their skin. Because kids are all about being loving. They're all about wanting to, I mean, there's a purity in children that wants to just love. And then at way too early an age, we've got adult agendas that grab hold of too many of our kids and they teach them to hate. I've always found that to be absolutely outrageous. Let me give you an example. In the Tahoma School District, they have what is called their equity support team. And the goal of the equity support team is to make sure that Tahoma schools are welcoming, supportive, and safe for every student and every adult. Okay, that's a worthy goal, right? Schools are welcoming, supportive, and safe for every student and every adult. There's only one problem. One of the members of that equity support team is a woman named Alicia Bush. And she is just filled with hatred, especially towards white people. And even more problematic, Alicia Bush is or was the campaign manager for a woman who's trying to get on the school board down in the Tahoma School District named Haley Pendergraft. And so we need to know, is Haley Pendergraft, does she endorse the hatred of her former campaign manager? And I say former, and she stepped down from the school position as well because the media was inquiring about this. The post-millennial, Jason Rantz, the Dory Monson show, we were all inquiring about these videos that have surfaced from this woman. When the parents complained last summer, the district did nothing. And schools should be more responsive to their parents than to the media, but they were afraid of bad publicity. They weren't afraid of doing bad things. They were afraid of bad publicity. So here's a little bit, well, it's actually a lot, of what Alicia Bush says on her videos.
You too can achieve the American dream if only you work hard enough to conform to society's norms. And by society, I mean white supremacy. And if you assimilate enough, and if you reject all of your non-American culture, history, background, generational trauma, and just get over it so that you again can achieve the American dream, which is white supremacy. Isn't it lovely over here, where you dehumanize yourself to the point where you are no longer recognizable? Not only are you not recognizable, but you have no culture of your own because it's lost to the American dream.
Well, she's a little dramatic, isn't she? And now the American dream is not white supremacy. The American dream is for all of us to reach our potential and have the freedom to reach our potential. But that's lost in hers. And boy, when you talk about freedom.
Dear white people, these freedoms or the impingement of freedoms that you are ranting and raving about is just silly. You've always had the freedom to do exactly as you please. The only change for you is that you're just now starting to see some consequences for being able to do whatever you please. And I understand that these consequences might feel like persecution, but I can guarantee you it is not. Now, being able to make choices without any accountability or consequences is not freedom. That is terrorism.
So now it's terrorism. And as I said, our kids should be taught to love everybody. And even dividing kids, you know, you're white, you're BIPOC. Why isn't it just we're all students at the same school and we all love each other, which is how it should be. But instead, it is being apparently at least in the Tahoma School District with their equity team, they were really trying to be divisive and hateful. And this woman is proof of that.
I should be used to this by now, but I'm not. There's no safe place for BIPOC to exist when whiteness is present. There just isn't.
Well, I know lots and lots of white kids who love all of their classmates, regardless of their skin color, their heritage, their religion, anything. And this person says that's impossible. Well, it's not impossible. But what do we need to know about Alicia Bush?
Here's some things that you need to know about me. Number one, if you are a person of whiteness, I don't give a f-. I don't give a f- about your comfort. I don't give a f- about your feelings. I don't give a f- about where you think that your place is in the world. If my existence and my statements and actions cause you discomfort, then I am doing the right thing. Number two, I am not a person in a skinny body, and I am proud of that. You cannot body shame me and make me feel bad about myself. And in fact, if you're responding to a statement about your patriarchy, racism, sexism, with how my body looks to you, that tells us way more about you and your lack of character and morals than it says about what I'm eating or not eating. And I can put you down in a hot second. My large body will f*** you all the way up.
All I feel towards her is I feel sorry for her, that she has that much bitterness inside of her. I don't know people who would body shame her. I don't know people who would judge her based on anything other than how she comports herself, which is what MLK advised. Let's judge people on the content of their character and nothing else. And that's still a worthy goal. But we're getting so far away from that now. We're getting so far away from the ideals of Martin Luther King Jr. Let me take a quick time out. I have a lot more audio to share with you. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us on the somewhat new text line, 888-973-CHIRO. That's 888-973-5476. Continue to give you a glimpse of what's happening in our public schools coming up next. Is the answer. I really do believe that. But we've got an agenda in our schools all too often that's about hatred. We're playing audio from a woman named Alicia Bush. She was part of the equity committee in the Tahoma School District, the equity support team. And then shockingly, she was also the campaign manager for a woman who wants to get on the school board named Haley Pendergraft. And Haley Pendergraft says that she's no longer running her campaign. But just the fact that she associated with somebody this radical, I would think would be a huge red flag for the voters down there in the Tahoma School District. But just give more of an example where, and here's what's so troubling. We have been doing better and better for the last 40 years in national polls on how we're doing with races getting together in America. 40 years, it's been getting better and better. Now, the last 2 years, it's been getting dramatically worse. And that's because instead of preaching love and acceptance of all and equal treatment of all, it's become this, let's divide everybody in a hateful way. Here, Alicia Bush talked about how she was supposed to be at her grandma's funeral.
My beautiful grandmother passed away at 97 years old in February 2020. We were supposed to celebrate her originally in April of 2020, and everything got shut down. Things were looking good this summer. People were starting to get vaccinated, so my family rescheduled it to this weekend. And then you, who don't think it's your responsibility to wear a piece of cloth on your face and get a vaccine makes it so that my family cannot celebrate my grandmother for another year. And I want to tell you that that brings up a kind of rage in me. That's only happened a few times in my life. And it all comes down to this. You f***ing colonizers. You mother f***ing colonizers. Think you can take and do whatever the f*** you want. And anything that gets in your way is inconsequential to you. Because it does not affect you. And this is why you're feeling persecuted right now. It's because it's the first time in your existence that you're experiencing any sort of accountability. And it's not going to stop until you dismantle the systems that you benefit from that result in the rest of us being harmed. Because of you, my beautiful grandmother has not been put to rest. My beautiful grandmother is not able to be celebrated by her family. Wear the mask, get the vaccine, and stop being destructive, amoral colonizers.
To homeschool, just what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Parents were complaining about these videos last summer, and you did nothing. You did nothing until the Dori Monson show, the Jason Rantz show, the post-millennial started asking questions, and then you dismissed her. Not because your taxpayers were saying this isn't a pro. Oh, by the way, don't call yourself a taxpayer.
As I navigate this whole campaign management role, something that's really striking to me is how certain people in the opposition, and by opposition I mean anti-equity, racist people, refer to themselves as taxpayers, and that public entities, elected officials, and public servants are accountable to them as taxpayers. And what I'm wondering is, given that the vast majority of us that participate in the systems that we have to live in are taxpayers, which one of us, which subset of us are they accountable to? And what are they accountable for? Is it for our lives? Is it for our humanity? Is it to make sure that we have all the resources we need to survive and thrive? Or are they accountable to make sure that your comfort is undisturbed, that your feelings are unhurt, and you are unbothered?
They're accountable to everybody who's a taxpayer, and that's homeowners, renters, taxes factored into your rent. I don't understand. None of what she is saying makes any sense, but I do know that it was said with from such a place of hate that we can't have that in the school. She has been dismissed from the school equity position, but man, she supported, she was the campaign manager for this Bendergraf person. What were you thinking? Best 15 coming up next.